Session number 16708, Bill Nolan, Reel 4.
Mr. Nolan, Reel 4. We got to the point where you got back from the Dombeik campaign, yeah. Narakan, to...
Amanaga. Now, we're doing our training again, because in the meantime, we've been a bit relieved, you know what I mean? We have a fortnight here, some went to Bombay.
What did you do on your leave?
Went to Bombay most of the time.
What do you remember? What was it like being on leave in Bombay? Where did you stay?
I was lucky, like I stayed in a place, like a hotel sort of thing. Some of them was in the camp, Kalyang camp, you know. And we went to cinemas, a couple of nice cinemas there. There's plenty of restaurants. Of course, there's also, without going into it in detail, there's plenty of nightlife, if you wanted that kind of life. Plenty of it there. And then, after we've all mostly had our leave, we've done a bit of training, now we go back
to... Did your training change at all from things you'd learnt in action? Or was it just the same?
No, we started getting a bit wiser, like, you know, getting trained a little bit, coming back, and then we went down to a place called Bengal. Down south. Some of us went to stay there because there's a little state there called Goa, which actually belongs to Portugal. A couple stepped out of bounds there. They stuck it in this jungle there. There's all wild boars in it and different things like that, you know, running through and different things. Hiding you up and you're training there. But while we're training there, the Japanese have been crafty again and come through over mountains which nobody thought they would come through. And started attacking this small village, something on the main highway between Imphal and Dimapur. And there was a mixed group there, not a large force of Royal West Kent, small hospital, Hill Station's type of hospital, a few Indian troops there. And wouldn't say it was a great big force, and the Japanese had seemed to come through, and it almost cut them off from everywhere, and they almost had it surrounded.
And this was at
Kohima, almost likely to take it over, Royal West Kent, and they were around. In the end, there was a big rush to get us up there. Some went by road, some went by train, I believe. Some went by plane, but I don't know. But anyhow, we landed at a place called Dimapur. And from Dimapur, we started fighting our way through. And there's a couple of roadblocks and one thing or another. Got through.
What do you remember of that? The fighting there?
And we finally got to about the 42nd milestone. And on the hillside where B Company or C Company had gone through, one of the companies there had gone along this hill and come up against Japanese opposition. And I think it was Sergeant Major Turnbull, or Major Allen. And from where we were, we could see Major Allen. Now I'm saying this, and I keep counting on, as far as I'm concerned, we were still wearing KD. And we went in the other camps there, we were in KD. All stuff from buses and Paris. The only thing they took out, the only brass they took out, was the brass out of the bottom of the rifle. These are things you forget about. We had no green stuff. We were more or less white near enough, KD. You know, with bleaching and everything like that, and the washing. So more or less, we had a white suit on. And everything was polished. And then, and we seen that air, and then they suddenly decided, days and not what days it was, suddenly decided to get onto Garrison Hill, That was the major point of this thing, Garrison Hill. Well, all that happens there is you go on the hill and you're just saying, in there. You don't know where you are. You haven't got a clue because you haven't been there before. All you're doing is getting pushed down trenches. And in the meantime, the Japs are sniping all round. And then relieve these Royal West Kents. And I myself met the Royal West Kents and I wouldn't know. These were wounded on the stretches and they'd all been in this big area and they'd been behind the blankets. And they'd all, they had stretchy bears there, but there was a section of us all, me, McGregor, and a few more fellas, were detailed off to go as many down as we can. And as we're coming down one part of the slope, then we come onto a flat path, which is by the hospital. Come by the hospital, we're going across there. What happens? The Japanese open up with like machine gun fire, like machine gun. So we've got to get covers, so we've got to run there. We've got wounded on. Then we get down, and we got one down. It was all right. Come to the ambulance. Then we're coming back, same. Next time, down. One gets it. See? So we bring them wounded down, and we're losing one. And the next thing happened was, we come down, we brought these few more down. We've been coming through the enemy fire all the time. Bring them up. And we come to this part here, where we get them down, and we get them to the ambulance. Now, as I said, about five or six of us, I don't know, actually a number of us that were doing this. And what happened is, the Japanese threw mortars over right onto the roadway. Dived down, and there's like a gully. You know, like the mountain comes down, so you always have a gully for drain. So he dived into the gully. I don't know. The bloke in front of me, and he said, I've been hit. I looked up and said, well, I don't know where you've been hit. I can't see nothing. I can't see nothing there. I said, sure. He said, yeah, I've been hit. You know, I'm like this. Sure. Couldn't see nothing. And he was still bombing, you know, still throwing mortars over. In the end, I found out he had been hit, but there's no blood. Been hit in the spine. Been hit in the spine. I don't know. I couldn't think of his name because I've been looking in the books at time by now. Couldn't think of his name or something. Then you get back up again and you're in another trench.
The first period you spent as a stretcher bearer?
Yeah, not long enough, you know. You just get details.
What were you doing when you weren't doing stretching then?
Overlooking the Impalt Timberpaw Road. In a trench.
Was it a trench or a foxhole? I mean,
trench. And there's some big trenches there.
And what could you see? What was the top of Garrison Hill like?
You couldn't nearly see where to put. You couldn't nearly. Well, this is not right at the top. At the time, I'm only looking here. What happened is you're looking that way like that. But all the time, you could never see Japanese positions. I've never been that way up. The next thing happened was they decided the Japanese had put one attack in. You got repulsed. You immediately look at maps. But you don't know that. You're down here. Everybody's in different places. They're all over the place. So, you know, people say, oh, yeah, I'm telling the truth. I'm only saying, well, I did not know where that was. But this particular time is A Company being in reserve. The Japanese had come to the top. Anyhow, A Company went up, cleared them up the top, and I believe they lost a lot of men. Not my fault, I'm in the last section. I didn't see anything. All I seen was the top of a ridge, and you've got biscuit boxes, anything, just to make cover of all lying down. There, see, not like that. Next one's right here, and there's all kinds of stores there, bags of sugar, bags of this, stores, been Royal Kent stores or somebody's stores there. It was right by there. And the next thing that happened was the section I was in, John Armstrong, he was on a J two-inch mortar. I was always with them. And lying there, somebody said, his ammunition boxes, shells, that's likely to go off. And they're in front of the trenches. So, I dived over. It's up there. And I've got two boxes. And rather than come up and bring it over the hill, all I done was turn them over the top and went down and got the other two boxes and kept throwing them over the top. So it was the same getting out, coming up back over the hill. So I was doing that. And I sent a good load of boxes up, I'll tell you that. And the next minute I heard a voice saying, "Oh, Billy, let somebody else have a go, will you?" I said, "Okay." So the next two boxes, see, as I was throwing over the top, they were taking them down to the dump. Next two boxes, I take them over the top, don't I? Go down to the dump. As I'm coming back, to go back up, who's coming down on the stretcher? Only my old mate. Only the chap, I think, that shouts him. I show he shouts him, let somebody else go. He had to go. He got it in the back with a dum-dum brother. Threw half his back out. He jokes about it. He wasn't killed. I went up to see him in Bligh. And what happened was, he used to say, "Oh, my right now, I've got a place to carry me a small pack." He used to say, "It's over the blow like that, you know, John Armstrong." Well, he must have shouted, and that was it. And you're there. And then the next minute, somebody says, "Yeah, I've moved that, go over there." And how anybody can know where they were and what day it was, anything like that, I've got no idea. I've got no idea. Now, the next time, that night, or the next day after, the Japanese put the bigger sack in, we were pushed round to the front somewhere, and on the top of Garrison Hill, see, on the top of Garrison Hill, you've got all the Bren guns. A lot of Bren guns. Might be 20, 30 Bren guns like that. Anyhow, the bottom of Garrison Hill, somewhere went round, we got pushed round. So, as it happened, I don't know you. We're all mixed up. I don't know the fella on the left of me. Don't know the fella on the right of me. We're all different somehow. See? The next move, pushed around. So, but below, I don't know, I'd love to see the hill again, but below, somewhere down here. So the garrison was here. So there must be another road, said it's somewhere down here, the front, overlooking the hill. Well, I've never seen this taboo, but the trench I was in, I've seen headlights on the road. No artillery fire, nothing laid down. I've seen these headlights on the road. There were Japanese wagons have come through. I don't think they can drive them into half it. Headlights on. They drove through. And next minute there's a barrage. Barrage come over. But plus the barrage had come over. What come over besides the barrage was running feet. Running over the top, him over the top, the shells were going over the top, then his feet. But besides that, there was these phosphorus grenades. I was choking, gasping for breath, and all I was doing was just throwing a hand grenade out every now and again, making sure I'd won everything like that. Well, all of a sudden, I was pushed over. So I thought it was one of our fellas gone berserk. And like this, I've had more chance of explaining now than what I had the chance there to explain that bit. I was definitely pushed over. So I've built a few grenades on me. The next moment, my hats was getting pulled off. And they all started going like that. I said, "Who are you?" Get no answer. But the point is this, I couldn't say it was a Jap because you didn't smell them. That's one thing about, I could smell a Jap.
Why? In what way?
But they have that smell on them, have that odour around them, like, you know. Mixed up, but everything was mixed up, you know. I'm half out with these fumes. But there's no actual stabbing or anything like that, there's nothing. Anyhow, I said, "Oh, bugger this, he's all the way around with me, I was here. I got out, pushed along. There was an opening day, and I got out in the opening. And at the time, there was an order given up by might have pile up, like, saying that anybody found even the trenches could be shot. Well, we know that. Circumstances changes everything. But what happened then was, I'm more or less facing the right now. I'm coming back up the hill. You know, so my right hand's on the right hand side. I'm looking the roadway. So here you have Garrison Hill. I lay there for a bit, blacked out, the shells, phosphorus grenades, everything going. And they're filing down. And I've seen this myself, they're filing, how's the firing? They're going over their heads, you know what I mean? It was like that. Going like that. More or less seems to be going over them, sort of thing. I said, look at them. And they're all running over the place. I don't know where they are, and where I go. Yeah, right, Sam. The next thing that was, I said, well, there's not much over here. I'll keep to the right. No, kept to the right. I forget what the password, even now. Like, you know, I had the password in my mind now. I'm shouting the password out every now and again. I'm shouting it out because I see little spares of a Sten gun. I see the little spares. I'm going up, gradually going up and so. See a little spare. And this Sten gun was still going. And then I shouted it out, something voice. And we stopped. One of ours. Never seen us officers before. Lieutenant Cowan. So I explained. He said, all right. I said, look, there's chaos down there. I don't know. The Japanese in the trench. He said, we was in the trench. They're in there. But the point is, I couldn't stay there no longer. So he said, all right. You stay here. Said, yeah. But he said, stay here. So he said, there's old grenades there. And I stayed with them. And we were throwing grenades, and we were keeping that corner covered, throwing grenades, doing whatever you said. If you want a grenade, passing over, passing a grenade over, doing like that. And I kept one. And I said to him, that's the last. Because I'd have blew myself up, and Japanese, a lot of them don't know that. Kept the grenade myself. And he said, now, when I give the order, make your own way back down that way. But don't do it until I say so. So as soon as he said withdraw, made your way back that way. There was a following day, as I said, don't know what day it was, anything like that. Come back. Oh, a fella said to me, Billy, go away, lad. He said, I can't stand here. Go away. Four fella said to me, go away, Billy. Gold's the MO. He said, you're breathing phosphorus cells all over the place. You're gassing, even gassing us. Well, I went to the MO. You? A cup of salt water. He said, you know what? People pay money for that. I believe they do. I don't think they mean it's a them kind of doses, though. Phosphorus, like, you know. Because it's sonic green on a phosphorus and all that. I'll tell you what, that was so. And then.
So you'd lost touch with your mortar team?
Oh, I've lost touch with everybody. I just mixed around, you see, didn't know the next year.
And the running feet you heard were the Japanese?
Oh, yeah, Japanese.
Did you actually see them?
No, you just see the shadows. As if they had nothing, you just seem to just throw them anywhere. They're going on fire as well. And next thing about what happened after that? Yeah, I don't know whether the general went up to, but somebody wants to know, like, who went up. I don't know whether maybe General Grover or one of his understudies went there. I don't know where it was even, just went up. That asked me a few questions, but as I say, I can tell you more now. What was that? Because you don't know what to say to them. You don't know what to do. Because they weren't there, you don't know anything. They weren't there. You don't know. So the next thing, he started asking me questions. So I could have told a lot, like, but you can't always tell different things. In fact, a lot of our people can get shot by their own. It happens any time. Get shot by your own. Platoon can go out and get shot, coming back. You know what I mean? This can happen
accidentally.
Yeah, accidentally. So next thing that happened, that son and Cowan said a few words. I just remember what was the word with him. And whoever was sitting there just saying, I said, just said, well, he shook my hand and said, oh, thanks. He said, thanks for that. He was satisfied with the explanation, everything like that. He just said, thanks, that everything's okay. I forgot about it. Look, just because you went up there, a lot of people think different, see? But then, there's nobody around now. That many got killed, officers got killed, everything like that. The only way if they wanted the truth is to see Lieutenant Cowan. He's still going. Because there is a few like that. But how anybody can say where they are and everything like that is impossible.
So what happened next?
Well,
was that the end of the fighting on Kahima?
No.
Halfway through?
No. We got relieved, I think. We got relieved. For a break after that. After a day or two after that. See, we lost so many men. And I think we went down to Jimapore and a letter. I think we got a couple of bottles of ale or something like that, you know. I just forget where we got. Then we get kitted out with green suits, I think. And that's when we get the green suits. Get the green suit, I think it was then, I'm not too sure, I think it was then. And then what happens then is we could only form up a couple of companies. See? And we start getting reinforcements, you know, different things again. And we start up again, of course, the Japs. I started moving back then. Kahima was at the 46 milestone. And then we finish up at the 86 milestone. 86 milestone. That was our resting place then. Then we started going on leave from there. See? A lot of us started going on leave. And then what happened then was that when you come back, you had to go to these reinforcement camps. You give you one to report to, you report to, because you're not supposed, you don't know where your battalion's going to be. Next minute you go there. Instead of getting 20 rupees a week off them, you only get 10, unless you use two paybooks. The next thing that happens, you go there. And then you catch up with the battalion by then. This is the mother point. When I rejoined the battalion, we waited a couple of days and they're moving out. I was transferred to Brigade HQ, REME.
Why was that?
Well, this is it. I'd arrest, or I'd had enough, or, you know, something like that, but it wasn't arrest because what you were doing there, and it, they're all part of the service, what you're doing there, you're taking their latrines for them, for the REME. I got to Sway, because there's a place called Swaybo. Flash come, my head went. After that, I don't remember anything. I remember walking over to a tiger moth. And the pilot says to me, okay. His wings were flapping. I remember going and I got the tiger.
What do you mean the flash come? Sorry, you lost me a bit.
Just conked out.
Ill.
Yeah.
Malaria.
But it could be anything. Could be the point is there, it was malaria. Just started knocked out, so exhaustion. Could be anything at all. But the point is what I'm gonna say, because Billy McBoy, and he asked me, I said, Billy, don't talk to me about, I don't know. I mean, I was dropped at one place where the Japanese had been in the hospital. I was dropped outside. In the end, all I remember was I finished up in Calcutta, the hospital in Calcutta. But where I was moved from and how I got there, and then how I got from Calcutta to Rangoon, where I rejoined Rime again, was all that's blank. That's blank. Well, you know all the rest. That passed blank. Don't know anything about it. When I got to Rangoon there, we were all getting ready, done more, waiting for the boat to come home.
So the last couple of years of your war, you don't remember too well?
Not a couple of months. Them months. I don't know what date it was when we got the spray bomb. Oh, me, was a, that's about May, June, and July, so it's always. So, probably anywhere.
So it was 45 that they had the thing. Yeah.
So it could be anywhere between June, May, June.
So between 43 and 45, you'd been with Remy, had you?
No. Only from after Kawima. I was only with them from after Kawima to Svebo, which is only a couple of months. It's only a couple of months, by the way. After Kawima. That's in April, isn't it, Kawima? No. And we're coming back.
April 44?
Yeah. Yeah. So after that, only got to go to Svebo. Then I was in hospital then, and I landed back in there. What's the name?
So you rejoined them in time for demobilisation, basically?
Yeah, well, that was. This is Matt Vince's, what happened was, the company Andy. What happened was, we were in one camp. I think it was Camilla. Moving out to rejoin. So a lot of us there, reinforcements, like, you know, these are reinforcement places. And there was this bag on the shelf. The place was empty because I'm honest, I asked around. And they have what they call your white kit bag. You throw your stuff in. That gets kept. You don't take that with you. You know, you have presents to go home. You have no time to post them. I lost all my presents out in my kit bag. Then, well, this was this set. Housey said it was. And I took it in a white kit bag, not knowing to see it again. Well, I've seen it again. The white kit bag turned up at Rangoon before we get on the French ship. And Felix Rizal. Before we got on the Felix as well, got this white kit bag. And it was starting when the Aussie on the ship, so coming handy. When the Aussie on the ship, I found that, you know. So the first thing was done, let me go on the ship. Started running it. And the military police then, they stopped us. You had to go before the commanding officer at the corporal, you know. So they run them before when we were going out. They were gambling on the ships going out, playing crown and anchor and everything like that. Next thing happened, so no, you can't do it. What you can do is if you give two bomb the pounds in the PRI funds, this goes on, so we squared that up. Otherwise, everything went okay. Then we get back here, this is the funny part about it. Get back here, and we're all sent on leave just before the Christmas. I opened my mouth and said not to open your mouth on leave. I get recalled. I'm not going to tell you why. I get recalled. Anyhow, the next thing I was, I'm down south in a place called Blanford. Spider web camp just outside Bournemouth. A place called Blanford. Nobody told me what it was. He said I hadn't filled some form in. 846121 or something like that. That hadn't been filled in by me. But when he gets joined up, he just forms him. Anyhow, he started asking me all kinds of questions and everything like that. And asking me, everything was going okay. The sergeant come up and he started talking about gas. I said, you don't talk to me about gas. I said, I know nothing about gas. I don't know. No. He said, why? I said, well, we've got some Bombay. So we took our gas mask away. He said, there's no good in the jungle. I said, since then, I forgot, it's a long time ago, so the war's over now. I said, all I want to do is go home. Anyhow, put me on a charge, and see how I nearly explained it, and you know what happened? I said, sent me to, what the, I didn't know anything about this, the army, sent me to army personnel selection officer. So
okay.
What happened then was, I was sent to the German prisoner of war camp as a guard. And the Germans there were running the camp and refusing to give me paper. As they said, oh, well, yeah, they'd have to give them the guard, and in the end, they're going to get shot. These same Germans here, this is England, they went out for a strike because they weren't getting the same food as the officers. And it's sad to believe that, but this is what happens, and that's what it poses to. In the end, I was given a job in the officer's mess. And in the officer's mess, there were all Germans. German waiters, there was only me there that looked after the place. There were 26 Germans in. I had to look after the officers who used to come and go, as you know.
And you were demobbed from there?
I was demobbed from there. And it was a Polish colonel who was in charge, and he signed my papers. Nobody believes it.
Thank you very much.